We are blessed. Doesn't matter if we're in the city, in the field, the highway, the byway, coming in, going out. Glory to God, just blessed. And I like what the prophet told that one king. That king wanted the prophet to curse the people of Israel. And that prophet looked at king and said, I cannot curse whom God has blessed. Ooh, glory be to God. Ephesians 1 says, we've been blessed with all spiritual blessings in the heavenly places. God has blessed us, not gonna bless us. He has blessed us. You can't curse whom God has blessed. Glory to God. So you're blessed, you're not cursed. Everything about you is blessed. Say it, I am blessed. Everything about me, everything that has to do with me, because of Jesus, is blessed. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Well, amen, amen, amen. Hallelujah. Well, welcome to Sunday night, as Pastor Marvin had already said. Glad everybody's here tonight. And we just expect great things here as we look to the Word of God. How many know that's where our answers come from? In God's Word. So if you got your Bible, I want you to turn over to 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4. I want to talk tonight about one of the aspects of being a good steward of the manifold grace of God. Or how to steward, or how to participate, I could say it that way, or how to cooperate with the grace of God. And so I want us to look at this tonight, 1 Peter chapter 4. It's not hard, by the way, to do these things. But 1 Peter 4, we'll start in verse 10. I'll be reading from the King James. If I take some these and thous out, you won't mind, will you? So, as every man has received the gift, even so minister or serve others with the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Now here, a steward here is not an owner, but is someone who is a caretaker of the grace of God. Now there's many aspects of God's grace. We're studying this right now with our first year students here at the school. And amen. But so there's many aspects of the grace of God, and there's more than just saving grace. Okay? There's other aspects of God's grace. And so we need to know how, first of all, to be a good steward of that and how to cooperate with that grace. He goes on to say in verse 11, if anyone speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone minister, do it as the ability which God gives, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise, dominion forever and ever. Amen. Now, you know, some of the different things about grace that we want to understand is that grace speaks of God's initiation. In other words, not like you're initiated into a club, but it was God's idea. He's the one initiating whatever it is. He's the one doing it. Actually, grace usually talks about doing it ahead of time and providing ahead of time, even though you may not know you have need of it, grace provides it, all right? It's different than mercy. You know, mercy is what you get when you've done something wrong, but you don't get what you deserve, right? But grace is getting what you didn't deserve in a good way. You don't deserve it. But grace, God thinks ahead of time. God is gracious. There's so many things to talk about with this subject. But grace is God's part. But our part here, he said, as good stewards, we have something to do, right? If I'm to be a steward of the grace of God, in other words, if I'm to handle the grace of God, cooperate with the grace of God, then I've got to know some of the keys how to do that. Now, tonight, we're really just going to look at only one of them because it's just such a vast subject. And, you know, we don't want you, ladies. How many of you ladies been here to every Kindle the Flame meeting and you're back here on Sunday night? What is wrong with you fanatics for Jesus? Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Yeah, Amanda came because she's my wife. She didn't, that's the only reason she's here. But anyway, she can tell you, I tried to get her to stay home. I said, you don't know, I'm coming, she said. Amen. Because if she stayed home, I thought maybe I could stay home too. But no, I figured I better come. All right, 1 Corinthians 15. Now, I think the Apostle Paul had learned some things. He makes a statement here that I think is helpful to us. He had learned some things throughout the course of his time. You know, he had been a very zealous member of Sanhedrin, if you will, the ruling faction of the Jews in the Jewish religion. And he had been very zealous. You know, he put Christians to death, right? Had him arrested because he felt that they were full of heresy, and taking away from Judaism, not knowing that Jesus was the fulfillment of it. But so he had worked very hard. And then, you know, Jesus interrupts his life, if you will, on the road to Damascus, there in the book of Acts chapter 9. And he talks to him there and ministers to him through Ananias and tells him the things that he's going to have to do and the things even he would suffer. And then he talked to him about, you know, the infamous scripture there in 2 Corinthians 11, where Paul said, you know, I asked the Lord, there was given me a thorn in the flesh because I had all these abundance of revelation. There was given me a thorn in the flesh. Now, it doesn't say God gave it to him, but because God gave him the revelation. See, why would God give you the revelation and then hinder you from walking in it? A brain's a horrible thing to waste, folks. Use it. I know I say that to myself sometimes. Tad, you got a brain. Use it, all right? But it doesn't make any sense for that. So we know it had to be the devil trying to steal, kill, and destroy. And so Paul goes to the Lord and says, you know, take this away from me. And the Lord says to him, he went three times. He said, Paul, my grace is sufficient. My grace is sufficient. What's he telling him? Paul, cooperate with the grace of God. That's going to get you over. And we know Paul, what was Paul's testimony? The Lord delivered me out of how many of them? Them all. He said, many persecutions. He said, but the Lord has delivered me out of them all. Well, how do he do that? By his grace. But we need to learn how to cooperate with the grace of God. Now, Paul says something here in 1 Corinthians 15. Let's start in verse 9, talking about himself as the, he said, I am the least of the apostles. I'm not meet that I should even be called an apostle because I persecuted the church. But, amen. I love that word in the New Testament especially. But God, or here, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all. Now notice this, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. Now he said, I am what I am because of the grace of God, which was given to me, and it was not in vain. It was not, you know, it hasn't just been a vain thing that God did. It's worked in me. He said, but I labored more abundantly than all that I know of. And he's really defending himself here in his apostleship because others have come in and said, you know, Paul really shouldn't be speaking this way. He wasn't one of the original, but yet he's called of God, right? And so he said, I labored more abundantly, but yet here's the secret. It wasn't me. It was the grace of God in me. The grace of God, which was with me, he said. That's what Abel. So what's Paul saying? Paul is saying here, I learned how to cooperate with the grace of God. Cooperate. Now, when you and I learn how to cooperate with the grace of God, that's going to bring many things out. First of all, back there in 1 Peter 4, verse 10 says, as each one, every Christian, has received the gift. The word gift there is charisma in the Greek. The word for grace is charis. If you add an M-A on there, you get charisma. A gift, this gift here, is an endowment of God's grace. And notice what we're to do with it. Take that gift of grace, that deposit of grace that God has given you to serve others with it. Okay? Now, Paul told Timothy concerning that gift to stir it up. Stir up that gift that is in you through the laying on of my hands. Stir it up. So that gift could be in you, but you know it could lie dormant and never minister or help anyone. Because Paul told him, stir it up. That tells me that I have my part. You have your part. We have our part to play in it with this gift. And so what he's literally saying here to me, as I see this as part of this, what he's saying, is that I have learned how to cooperate with the grace giftings God has given me. I've worked hard, but yet I'm doing it because of that grace. Amen? You know, there's, if you pay attention, a lot of times, you think that, well, I'm just good at this, or that just comes easy to me. When all along, it's the gift of God working in you. Amen. It's just the gift of God working in you. I know, you know, I grew up in church, and I found out later in after I'd gotten saved that there were some different people that God had actually given them an assignment to pray for me, that I would come to know the Lord. And a couple of them talked to me about it later on. They said they started, you know, that God, they started seeing some things, you know, and knew of me somehow. And one person, this one lady, she really liked sports, and I was heavily involved in that growing up. And she said she saw my name in the newspaper. She said, I'm just going to start praying for that person. Don't know anything about him. I'm just going to pray for him. She was part of the Bible study that I got hooked up with. And when I got born again, spirit filled 39 years ago in June, this past June, she was part of it. She said, and there I was. She'd never met me. She'd met my mom, but never met me, but been part of that. But she was praying. And I found out. And so, you know, when God is assigned and different people take the time, that's why it's so important, these prayer groups. When we pray for people, God can start working some things in them, even though they at the time have not come to a knowledge of the saving grace of God. But yet God's working some things in them because he knows the beginning from the end. Right? And so it was interesting for me. I noticed starting in middle school, we called it junior high, now sixth grade, seventh grade, eighth grade, that I could sit in a classroom and listen to a lecture, not Bible, but you understand, a teaching and stuff. And I liked history. And so I could listen to a teacher talk about history, and I could sit there, and for whatever reason, I had no idea. I thought everybody could do this, but I could map it out. Point one, well, no, A, B, C, point two. And I took notes that way. And I just thought everybody, and I found out a lot of people know they can't do that. Well, boy, that came in handy when it came to putting sermons together and taking notes. But I'd sit there and listen, and I've got folders and stacks, man, I can tell you. I mean, I've got drawers full of folders and three ring binders of just handwritten notes and then type notes. And it's all in that way. Because God gave me the ability to hear things that way. I could take, and I don't know, but I can take most anybody's book that they've taught. I can take it and make an outline of it real quick. Just read it, start outlining it, writing it down that way. Amen. It's just something that God, well, that's come in very handy for me over the years. But it's not me, it's the grace of God in me. Now, I was diligent to do it, but yet it was I could do it because of the grace of God in me. And so there's things you can do because of the grace of God in you, but if you don't do your part and you don't cooperate, then it can lie dormant, those abilities, right? Okay, and it's a lot of different things, a lot of different aspects to that we could talk about. Let's look at Acts chapter 4. Let's look at some things here. Acts, the fourth chapter, cooperating with the grace of God. Now, here's the thing about grace. Grace is not passive. If you're operating in grace, you're going to be on the offense and you're going to be aggressive. Anybody that tries to teach you that grace makes you passive, that's not what the grace of the New Testament, at least. And that's not the grace of God, I'm telling you right now. Grace is active. Because God, the grace of God has been active towards us, right? He moved on our behalf. So grace is going to make you active. Here in Acts chapter 4, after that Peter and John have been let loose and they've been threatened, you know, the man was healed at the gate in Acts 3. They've been threatened. Look, they told him, don't go out and preach in that name anymore. Don't go preach in his name. Don't go tell people he's alive. But he was. They said, what, are we going to obey you or God? But then they went back to their own company and they prayed, Lord, behold their threatenings. And then they said, Lord, grant unto your servants that with all boldness we may speak forth your word by stretching forth your hand to heal, that signs and wonders would be done by the name of thy holy child Jesus. And the Bible said when they finished praying, the place where they were praying was shaken. It started shaking. They were all filled. The Bible says they were filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen. And spoke the word of God with boldness. And so a multitude of people began to believe. Now look at verse 33, Acts 4, 33. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Not just some, all. Well, grace was upon them to do what? To give witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Notice that with power, with power. The fact that Jesus is risen from the dead is key. It's key to Christianity. If Christ be not risen, if there is no resurrection from the dead, then our faith is vain and we're still in our sins, Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15. And so thank God. Here he said, great grace was upon them all. Look at chapter 11, Acts 11. Here's Barnabas, sent out from the church to go down to Antioch. Jerusalem, he's from Jerusalem there. Barnabas, you know, is a man who is called the son of encouragement. Here in Acts chapter 11, verse 23. So he goes down to Antioch, who when he came and had seen the grace of God, was glad and exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. I want you to notice there's something here, that the grace of God can be seen. That means people are cooperating with, people are doing something with the grace of God. It can be seen in people's lives. You know, I wonder what can be seen on our life. Can the grace of God be seen? I mean, if somebody came to observe us, would they say, there's grace of God on them? I can see the grace of God. Well, we should be able to say that because we're cooperating with that grace. Now, one of the ways we do that is through the Word of God. We act on the Word. Look at Acts chapter 20. Acts the 20th chapter. I'll read this from the King James, then we'll also read it from the Message Bible. Verse 32. I've always felt like, you know, it seems that last words, you know, the last speech that someone gives that's prominent, a leader. Here's some of Paul's last words to the leaders of the church at Ephesus. They're in Miletus. Paul didn't want to go back through Ephesus because, you know, he'd stirred up stuff there, but he'd been there 3 years, but he didn't have time. He had to get back to Jerusalem. So he's going by there, and he stops in the southern part, south of Ephesus in Miletus, and he tells them, send all the leaders here. And he talks to them, and he says in verse 32, and now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. Now notice here, the word, he calls the word of his grace, his power, his ability, which is able. So there's potential in it, right? If it's able to do something, that means it potentially can do it. And the potential is, number one, he says there's to build us up. And second of all, to give us the inheritance, all that Jesus bought and paid for, among all them which are sanctified. It's able to do that. It has within it the ability, the word of this grace has within it the ability to make us strong and to give us this inheritance. But you have to cooperate with it. Now let me read the Message Bible, then we'll say this. Now he said, I'm turning you over to God, our marvelous God, whose gracious word, now listen to this, can make you into what he wants you to be and give you everything you could possibly need in this community of holy friends, the sanctified. Make you into what he wants you to be and give you everything you could possibly need. What's that? That's this gracious word. It'll make you and it will supply you. Hallelujah. Or when you might say it this way, for those of you who like to rhyme, it'll make you and it will stake you. I mean, you know, it's good to have a steak. I'm talking about filet mignon. I'm talking about a steak, you know, where your steak, somebody's, but you got money behind you. All right, you're going into this loaded. Okay? That's the grace of God will do that for us. It's able. It's able to do it. Well, you know, I don't know about you, but I'm tired of talking about what it can do. I want to see what it does. I want to be living in what it does. Just like it said, with great power, excuse me here, with great power, they gave witness of the resurrection. And great grace was upon them. Not with great power they talked about it. They did something. Didn't talk about it, just talk about it. Yeah, you got to talk about it. But there was manifestation. There was manifestation. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. You know, I'm seeing a turn here. I've been listening to Pastor, I've been listening to Miss Hay. There's a turn. We're not talking about gonna have. We're not talking about gonna. There's coming a move. We're talking about we're in the move. It's happening now. The move is now. It's happening now. That move is happening now. I've been hearing, listening to different ones talk about it, not just here, but then others that God has placed in my life to listen to it and told me to pay attention to, that they're talking about, we're not going to have it, we're having it. It's now. It's already started. Let's get in. Amen? Hallelujah. Now let's look at Romans chapter 5. Now I mentioned to you cooperation. See, the Word of God is able. Able. Now, how many of you know an apple is able to give you nourishment? It's able. But there it sits on the tree. Now, here you've come up to this apple tree. You didn't grow the apple tree. Well, I planted it. You didn't grow it. It was God's idea that seed would produce an apple tree, right? But you understand what I'm saying with that? You might have had your part, but actually all the credit goes to God. It was his idea that it would produce an apple. How would I know a difference between an apple tree and an orange tree? You know what I'm saying? See, it has to be God. Now, so there sits that apple. It's been provided for you, but if you're going to partake of the apple, you don't want to wait till they fall on the ground. They start rotting down there, unless you catch them, you know, pretty soon. But you know, you have to do what? You have to reach up and take hold of the apple. And if you're like me, you know, out of my grandparents' farm, they had some apple trees. You reach up and take hold of it. You didn't take it inside and wash it off. You didn't even shine it up. You just ate it right there. And we lived. Imagine that. We lived to tell about it. Road trip, slept in the back window, right? Up in the back of the back seat, slept up there. That was where, you know. Got to sleep up there, wherever you could lay down. Stood up in the front seat in the middle between mom and dad. Went down the road. Rode my bicycle without a helmet all these years. And lived. Yeah. Well, brother, I can just tell you've been hitting the head a few times, so I can tell that now. Glory to God. But you have to do your part, see? I'll never eat the apple if I don't reach up and take it. Okay? Now, we're going to see that what reaches up and takes it is faith. That's why faith has been so important. But you can't negate grace, because without grace, there's nothing for faith to reach up and take hold of. Grace has provided, faith receives it. Faith receives or takes what grace has already provided. Here in Romans 5, verse 1, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. See, how do we access it? How do we access this? By faith into the what though? The grace. Now, faith and grace work together. They work together, and we need to keep them together. Grace is God's side of it. Faith is my side of it, but it all comes from him. See, it's his idea. If you don't like here's another example you might think of. If I said, hey, I've deposited some money in your bank account, all right, how many of you know, unless you know how to withdraw the money, you can never benefit from that money, right? All right. Now, you might know how to withdraw the money. You might have read the manual on how to withdraw the money. But if you never actually go do what it says to withdraw the money, you'll never get it. Now, we don't do a whole lot today, but used to be you could go to the bank and write a check, you know, write a check out to cash or whatever, and cash a check there or something of that sort. Now we got debit cards and all that kind of stuff. But if you don't know how to use it, Or if you might know how to use it, but if you don't ever do it, you're not going to get the money. Now listen, don't let our testimony be, we have heard every series on faith. We have read every book on faith. We could tell you what faith is and define faith up and down, but we don't ever act in faith. Amen. Reach out. Cooperate with the grace of God. Do what the Word of God says and take hold of it through faith. Now, when we do that, verse 17 of Romans 5 is going to come into play in our lives. For if by one man's offense death reigned, how much more? He said, much more. Boy, that was a good sermon pastor preached like, wasn't it, last week? Much more, they which receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one Jesus Christ. Reigning in life. How? As a king, the Amplified says. Reigning as a king in life. How is that? By receiving the abundance of grace. See, it's not just that God's released abundance of grace. Receive it. How do you receive what grace is provided? Through faith. Through faith. All right? Now, again, it's good to know the formula, how faith works. We need to know all those things. Those are very, very important things. But it's not just enough to know. You have to actually act on it. And not try it, act on it. We're not trying anything, okay? That's like, you know, if you go to the doctor and they give you a prescription, you know, and they said, take this, take one pill every day with a meal, you know, gives you things on there, and you just try it. You say, well, I'll try this for a day. No, they told you to take the whole thing, all of it, because it takes the accumulation to do the job. Okay? It's not just knowing, and you read about it, yeah. So what are you supposed to do? Well, I'm supposed to take one of these every day. Did you do it? No. Why not? Oh, I don't know. You see, then it won't work for you, will it? Well, we need to be the same way with the Word of God. Now go to Colossians chapter 3. One way to help in this area is to be so full of the Word of God that no matter what happens, that's what comes out. Let the Word come out. You've heard it over and over again. Pastor brings it up all the time. He grew up, of course, in Kenneth E. Hagin's household. But his dad, he'd say it in his sermons. That was all over in his teaching, but said it to his family. What's the Word say about that? What's the Word say about it? Find out what the Word of God says about your need and then go to God in prayer about it. But you have to find out what the Word of God says. Now, what did Paul call it? The Word of His grace. Find out what he says about it. Colossians 3:16, let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. And I like this part, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. You see, when that Word is in you, it's like Paul said in the Ephesians, he said, you know, stay full of the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. Be not drunk with wine as an excess, but be ye filled with the Spirit. Speaking to yourselves in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. There's something about being full of the Word of God and full of the Spirit of God that puts a song of grace in your life. The grace of God. I mean, you just can't help talk about it. You just can't help sing about it. I'm not talking about we're going to give you a mic and let you sing on the platform. I'm talking about this is life. Amen. This is everyday life. But you're so full of the Word of God. Anytime something presses up against you, that song of grace comes out of you. Of that Word. Glory to God. Like that sponge that's so full of water. And if we set it here, you know, a good sponge, you could set it on this counter or on this stone here, you could set it right there, and when you set it there, a good sponge would hold that water there. It would hold it, all right? But if I go up and I push on it, water's coming out. Why? It's rich with water. It's full of water. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly, that no matter what presses up against you in life, out comes that Word of His grace. Out comes that gracious Word. And speak it out. It'll rise up from within you. The Holy Spirit will bring it to your remembrance. It'll rise up, but you got to speak it out. Remember, faith speaks. Faith speaks. 2 Timothy chapter 2. This grace is not, it's more than just being saved by grace. It's being strong in the grace of God. Living life strong, from a strong position. Living life strengthened. Not just barely making it through life. Not just letting, you know, life happen to us. But making life, by declaring life. By the grace of God. 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 1. Paul tells Timothy, he says, you therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. How many of you are in Christ tonight? In Christ Jesus? Well, there's strong grace in there. There's strong grace in Christ. Be strong in the grace that's in Christ Jesus. Be strong. He talks there about some things, you know, that we are to do as he goes on there. And then finally, I want to end up here in Ephesians chapter 2. This is just some thoughts about this. So the Word of God, how do I cooperate with the grace of God? The Word of God. I got to get the Word of God in me richly. Pastor Hagin made a statement last week, I think it was, that I hadn't heard it said the way he said it. And he said, the difference between your reality and the abundant promises of the Word of God is the amount of Word that you need to put into your life. If you got a big gap, you need to put a lot of Word in you. I thought that was, I understand, that spoke to me, Samarius. I know here just not too long ago, we're talking about listening to and hearing the leading of the Spirit of God. And in prayer, I was just praying, and I had just the Lord. Now, not a voice I heard, but just on the inside, you'd recognize the voice of the Lord. Sounds a lot like the Word of God, you know, that voice. And it just said, spend a lot of time, read large sections of the Word of God. Just spend a lot of time reading the Word of God, because my voice sounds like my Word. He said, you'll recognize my voice because you recognize the same voice of my Word. And so I know in doing that, I was spending lots of time just reading, just lots of time to meditate, just reading the Word of God, not necessarily studying the Word of God, just reading the Word of God, reading the Word of God. Amen. And then a few things talking about, I heard some specific things, and it was amazing. It wasn't spectacular, but it was supernatural. Wasn't a spectacular man, but it sounded like the same voice of the Word when I read the Word. Okay? Now here in Ephesians 2, you know this verse, verse 8. For by grace are you saved through faith. That not of yourselves, it's the gift of God. Let's talk for just a moment about that word saved. Remember now, it's the word in the Greek, which the original language, you know, is sozo, S-O-Z-O. And it means to be made whole. It means to be delivered. It carries about, Scofield in his Bible said that the word saved and salvation are the all-inclusive words of the gospel, gathering into it together all the redemptive acts of God accomplished through the Lord Jesus Christ. Everything we've been redeemed from, we're saved from. Right? Sin, sickness and disease, poverty and lack, the second death, we're saved from all those things. All right? But how do we receive them? How do we access healing through faith? But it's been provided by grace. See, healing is available to all, but you have to access it through faith. All right? Prosperity and all your needs being met, it's available to all, but you have to access it through faith. Okay? Now, why is the word so important? Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Faith comes by saying, what that Bible says is true. Father, I'm saying, God, you are true. Let everyone be a liar, even if it's me. Let what your word says be true. You said you would meet all of my needs according to your riches and glory by Christ Jesus. All of them. The Bible says you became poor that I might be rich. Now, what's rich mean? Fully supplied. That's what we talked about. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Amen. Now, what else does the Bible say? Give and it shall be given unto you. You can confess all you want. God meets all my needs, and all that. But if you don't do your part, why is that faith? It takes faith to give away the money you got. You have to operate in faith. But how do you do it? Well, like Paul, not me, but the grace of God in me. I'm letting that word of that grace operate. For by grace are you healed through faith. That not of yourselves. See, I can't pat myself on the back. Now, I think one of the things that happened, just real briefly here, happened back in the, as the faith message really took off in the late 60s, early 70s, up through, you know, in the time that Ramus started in 74, and then on through there, by the time I got into it, 1980, some of you have been, you know, been a lot longer than that, but got into it in 1980. One of the things that was a hindrance to people receiving this message of faith was because of, you know, some things concerning faith and that were taught. It was almost like there were some things taught that really weren't of it, because everybody, people think you have to come up with something new. Listen, you don't have to teach anything new. Just teach the Word of God. All right? You know, if you're teaching out of, you know, Brother Marvin's got a couple books written. If you're teaching stuff out of his book, tell everybody, I got this from Brother Marvin. But then go teach it. If it's worthy to be repeated, then it must come. He must have got it from God. But I'll give him credit for it a few times, and after that, you know. But you know what I'm saying? If you're teaching, brother, there's nothing wrong with teaching what someone else taught. Just give him credit for it, because listen, anybody that says I've got a new revelation. Did it come from the Bible? Because if it came from the Bible, it's not new, it's already there. Now, it could be new to you. That's a different statement. I've learned something new that I never knew before. Oh, okay. But in listening to people talk about faith, it almost became a point of pride. Amen. Well, I confessed it 1,523 times. And nothing happened. But on 1,524, the power of God hit me because I confessed it so many times, I wouldn't give up. That's good not to give up. But it's by grace, through faith. No, it took you 1,523 times to hook up. Not to pat yourself on the back about it. Amen. So let's never take out the aspect that God has provided this. How'd you get healed? By the grace of God. And how'd you receive? It was through faith. Where'd that come from? You? No, it's a gift of God. Not of my works. I can't boast about it. It's God. I'll just give God the credit. You see, that's what he's saying. You want to cooperate with grace? Get the word of God in you. Learn how to operate in faith and always give God the glory. The Bible said Abraham was strong in faith, giving glory to God. See, that's strong faith. You want to have strong faith? Always give glory to God. And you cooperate with it. Cooperate with it. Start it in the little things. And then learn how to listen to the voice of the Spirit. When God tells you to do something, go ahead and do it. The grace of God will be there to help you do it. Amen. Father, we just thank you for your word tonight. We thank you especially, Father, for your grace. Hallelujah. You haven't just saved us. You haven't just initiated and carried out our salvation. You have provided for us because you are a gracious God. And Father, we just are careful tonight to not out of fear, not out of being afraid of you, Father, but just out of reverence and honor for you. We'll be careful tonight to make sure we give you all the praise and all the glory and all the honor for all that you have done and are doing in our day. Thank you that we know, Father, because your word says, and we know because we have experience, that Jesus is alive today. He's raised from the dead, and he's seated at your right hand, and we're seated there. We're raised up and seated there with him, in him, at your right hand also. And Father, we thank you that you have saved us by your grace and that we have received it through faith. And Father, we just give you all the praise and all the honor and all the glory tonight. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen, amen, amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, can you thank God for his grace tonight? Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, for your grace. Thank you, Father, for your grace. How many of you know the grace of God is going to be mighty in you this week? Amen. I don't care what you're doing. If you go on your job, how many of you got to go to work tomorrow? The grace of God is going to be there to do it. the grace of God is going to be mighty in you. Hallelujah. Just get up in the morning and just say, thank God this is the day that you have made. Your grace is going to be mighty in me today. Woo, look out, devil. The grace of God coming at you through me. Hallelujah. Stand up on your feet if you would. Do we have a first-time guest, Pastor? No first-time guest tonight? All right. Good to see everybody here tonight. Just so some of you know, church does start at 6 o'clock on Sunday night. And so, because there's a whole lot more people here that have started. I didn't know if you knew that or not, you know. Just thought I'd point that out. Just tell your neighbor, 6 o'clock, 6 o'clock. No, hey, I can relate. I grew up, we were never on time for church. Back then, though, the church I grew up, if you weren't on time, you guess where you sat? Down front. Late folks sat in the first two rows. We were second row folks a lot. Amen. Well, shake your hands to your neighbor. Tell them you love them in the love of the Lord. You can be dismissed. Amen.